You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
All right. Ready to hear the words play ball, Jeff?
Man, I'm so ready you wouldn't believe it.
I think I am too. All right, let's hear a guy, or let's talk to a guy that is very close to that situation. Of course, he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is a super friend of the show. He is Brian Anderson. Hello, BA. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. I'm good. Happy Valentine's Day. And I will also tell you that I'm not really as dialed in quite yet on spring training as you may think. I cannot believe that this off season is basically already over. It has absolutely flown by, and you know, it's so funny when that World Series, or excuse me, when the Super Bowl is over, it's like the eyes automatically turn, like, oh my gosh, pitchers and catchers are reporting, and that's where we are. I can't believe it. I cannot believe another season's here.
BA, take me behind the scenes though at spring training, because I like, there's a book I'm sure you've met him or run into him along the way, Dirk Hayhurst, who went to Kent State and wrote that book, The Bullpen Gospels, and he's got this whole thing about, like, when you're a minor leaguer and you're trying to push your way up to the bigs, about like the best thing you could ever do is get there early so you can get to a motel where you're going to be sharing the room with somebody else probably anyway, and if you can get one with a fridge, you're going to save yourself a ton of money because that way you can buy groceries and not have to go out. Like, what is life like as a minor leaguer and guys that are trying to grow their way up, like, during spring training? Because I think I always find it fascinating, the stories behind the baseball.
Well, and this is where I hate to disappoint you.
Oh, you're going to kill me. You're going to be like, oh, I went straight to the bigs. Life was good, and I didn't have a problem.
But that's what happened.
I know.
That was my experience.
I know.
I never went to a spring training as a minor leaguer. So I don't know anything about that. Literally don't know anything about it. So, you know, my first spring training, I got drafted in 1993, and it was early June that the draft was held. I signed at the end of July. They sent me to Tempe, Arizona to get into playing shape because I hadn't really done anything for a couple of months.
Right.
I was in Tempe for a couple of weeks, and they got me up to the point where I could throw a few innings, and they literally sent me to Double A. I went to Double A. I had two starts for Midland. They sent me to Vancouver, Triple A. I had two starts for Vancouver, and I was pitching in the big leagues by September. And you know, it was funny because the first time I came into a ball game, it was against Toronto. They were the defending World Series champions. It was in front of 50-some thousand people at Sky Dome back then. And I came in relief, and the first hitter I faced was Paul Molitor. So I'm reflecting on that, like, okay, a couple of months ago, I'm throwing my last game at Wright State in our conference tournament against Eastern Illinois, and 3 months later, I'm facing Paul Molitor and the defending champion Blue Jays.
That's like, insane.
How did that happen? And then the next year, I went to spring training as a big leaguer, and I got cut and sent to AAA the last week of spring.
Oh.
I went to AAA Vancouver, and we got snowed out the first 3 games. You know, I was supposed to start opening day. We got snowed out for 3 days, so I was busy. I was going to have an apartment with Andrew Lorraine, who was another left-hander in my draft class. or similar. Anyway, we were looking for an apartment, got an apartment, got it furnished, and then we finally show up on Saturday. The Major League season had started the previous weekend. Got to the field on Saturday, and I'm throwing the first game of a doubleheader. Mm-hmm. And I get there early because it's a day game. The manager calls me in, and he said, you know what, you are not going to be pitching today.
Like, oh.
And I'm looking at, I'm like, what are you talking? And he goes, no, you're pitching tomorrow in Milwaukee against the Brewers.
Mm.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I had to get connecting flights. Ended up getting stranded in Minneapolis.
Connection.
Missed the connection, and so was stranded in Minneapolis overnight. Had to fly out Sunday morning to get into Milwaukee, run to the stadium, and get dressed and go out and pitch a 1 o'clock game against the Brewers.
Did you ever pinch yourself though, Brian? That say, man, how lucky I am compared to some of these other guys that like.
Oh, you have no idea. Now I will tell you, there is a certain value of understanding the professional game, which I didn't know.
Right.
I went from Wright State University to the big leagues. I didn't know anything about how professional baseball worked, let alone minor leagues development. I mean, it was a blur, and I was in the big leagues. I didn't know how professional. I didn't know about tipping. Clubbies. I didn't know about anything. And it wasn't like the veterans on that Angel team were doing anything to help me. In fact, they were trying to do everything they could to make sure that I felt like absolute garbage because they didn't feel like I deserved to be there. And maybe I didn't, but it wasn't my call that I was there. They pulled me there.
No.
So now my job is to go out and compete. That's all I'm supposed to do. I can't control why I was there.
Brian, the way that college baseball has evolved, and you know, you see some big-time kids coming out like you were back in the day. Are you surprised? Should there be more guys who had the journey that you had, which is, you know, pretty quick to the majors? Or do you think it's where it should be? Because you still see every once in a while somebody, you know, really moves up in a hurry.
Yeah.
But most of the time they're going to the minors, and they're spending a year, two, three down there. Even guys who were, you know, longtime college players.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's an individual on an individual case basis. Can you handle the move up quickly? You know, think about Paul Skenes, how quickly he got there. Yeah, he's got overwhelming stuff, and he's a generational type talent if he can stay healthy. So guys like that are going to move up. I was advanced. You know, I didn't have the overwhelming stuff. My stuff was good enough, but I was advanced as a pitcher. So I could put together sequences, and I could change speeds, and I could do things that you needed to be successful in the upper minor leagues and in the big leagues. And that's why I moved up rather quickly. Not to mention the Angel organization back then we were not very good. So they were looking for all the help that they could muster. And so, you know, that was part of my journey. But I think it's, you know, some guys need the development. Some guys are uber talented, but they need refining. And so they're going to spend a little bit more time in the minor leagues. You know, sometimes there's organizations that feel like you need to prove it at every level. And, you know, maybe a top draft pick is going to get more opportunities than a lower round draft pick, but they want to see you put up numbers in single A and double A and triple A. Some organizations want you to have a certain number of at-bats before they consider taking you, you know, up to the big leagues. Or time in the field or innings pitched, whatever it may be. Every team is different. But at the end of the day, if you can play and you can prove it, you're going to move along rather quickly. That's what it's all about. It's survival of the fittest. And that's why, you know, I've always said, you know, I always thought, I should say, that getting to the big leagues was the greatest accomplishment. And it was a great accomplishment. Everybody that makes it to the big leagues should be proud of that. The greatest accomplishment is staying there. It's one thing to get there, and that's super, super hard. But staying there is even harder because now you're exposed and everybody knows what you do well, what you don't do so well, and they're coming for you. And so if you're not able to make adjustments on the fly at the highest level, you're not going to be in the big leagues for very long. Not to mention there's a draft every year where lots and lots of kids come into the professional game. Well, they're not creating new teams, so all the kids that come into the professional game through the draft, that number of players are leaving the professional game to open up spots for them. And that happens every single year. So when you talk about survival of the fittest, that's what it is. And, you know, so to be able to go out there and play at a high level for a very long time is, it's a wonderful accomplishment.
Brian, Bill Nye, the science guy, has predicted that the Guardians will win the World Series this year. What value do you think that is to the players? No, I'm just kidding. Although I'm not kidding.
So did my neighbor, Steve.
Oh, Steve says so, too? I don't know.
Your jerk neighbor didn't teach me science.
See?
Hold on.
Okay.
First of all, I don't even trust Bill Nye on science stuff. So I really don't care what he has to say about baseball. Next.
Oh, man. I think it's interesting knowing you as long as I have that now that you're a part of the noise by being an analyst. But when you were in the game, you did everything you could to avoid the noise, right? And so when you're a team that hears that you're supposed to be in third place going into the season in the AL Central, how do you avoid that? Do you care? What do you think?
You can't avoid it. Especially nowadays, you know, with social media and everything is out there. You may have been able to avoid it a little bit more when I was playing. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to now. That's number one. Excuse me. Number two, you block it out. You have belief on the guys in your room. And that's just stuff that goes in one ear, out the other. If anything, maybe it motivates you. You know, I think that's what happened with the Rays back in 2008. Because I started that year in camp as a player, and it was the Yankees and the Red Sox, Yankees and the Red Sox. And the whole room in spring training for the Rays felt like, wait till the season starts. Nobody's counting, you know, everybody's counting us out. Actually, no one's even taking us seriously because we're the Rays, and we've been the Devil Rays, and we've been a doormat in the American League East. But that team, I could sense it from day one that they knew that they were going to make some noise and they were going to be a team to be reckoned with. And that's the way that the season started. We got into a fight with the Yankees in spring training. In fact, that was the game that I ended up blowing out and it ended my career. Hmm. I came in to pitch after we had brawled with the Yankees. At the beginning of that season, they brawled with the Red Sox at Fenway. That was Coco Crisp and James Shields with the throwdown on the mound. So they were serving notice to the big boys in the division. You're going to have to deal with us. And that was the year they got off to such a great start, and the entire, Major League Baseball in its entirety was just sitting, okay, when are the Rays going to fade? When are the Rays going to fade? When are the Rays going to fade? And I remember going into the All-Star break, the Rays that we had lost, like, because at that point I was on the coaching staff, and we had lost, like, I think maybe six in a row going into the All-Star break, and it was like, okay, here we go. Picked it right up coming out of the All-Star break, got off to another good start, and that team ended up going to the World Series. Lost to the Phillies, but that was what they accomplished. They were an afterthought when it came to, you know, predictions before the season started, but the room was like, these people don't know. They don't know what we have in here, and we're going to show them. Use it as motivation.
The Guardians keep adding pitching. And, you know, guys, it's like, well, that guy was interesting, and I wonder if they can, you know, tweak him and blah, 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 blah. What is it that organization, and the Rays organization as well, but in particular the Guardians, what is it that they do so well with pitching, BA, that many teams don't? And Brian Anderson joining us.
They identify pitchers that maybe have a certain pitch or a certain arm angle or, an assortment of pitches that they don't feel is being utilized properly. They just they know what they're looking for. They want unique styles. They want guys that have a special type of pitch. And then they build around that. And they do a great job of, number one, being able to identify it. They know what they're looking for. Where other teams, I think they're trying to find their way in that area. It's not really easy to do that. But they identify certain guys that may be inefficient, but boy, oh boy, this right here is a plus special pitch. And if we can get rid of the inefficiencies, build those up a little bit, and then start to highlight and accentuate the special pitch, we can make him a niche reliever, and he can become very valuable to us. And that's what they are better at doing than most every other team in baseball. And that's why they have the track record that they do. You're excited. I hear guys all the time coming into Tampa that are just so excited to be a part of Kyle Snyder's staff because they know. Look at the track record. They turn all these guys around. They take guys that you've not really ever heard of, and they turn them into household names coming out of the pen, or at least household names when it comes to people that know Major League Baseball. So they're excited to come in because there's instant credibility, and they know that the organization knows what they're doing. And so, you know, you're going to continue to always want to add pitching because of injuries. You know, as much as they talk about workload and limiting pitches and all that, it has not helped in the injury department at all, because guys are throwing max effort with max spin and max velocity and everything else. So those injuries are always going to be there and be a part of the game, especially now. And so the good teams realize we need to build depth. We need to build depth. We need to have an eye for talent and maybe overlook talent, but we need to have an eye for that. We need to know how to develop it, to refine it. And we know that we're going to need the bodies over 162-game schedule.
Brian Anderson, as always, thank you. Have an outstanding weekend. Enjoy your full team reporting there down in Tampa, too, as well. I know it's a big day.
Very good, boys. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day night and enjoy the Daytona 500 on Sunday.
There you go.
Thank you, Brian. He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. And just thinking back, in case you missed any of the interviews that we just did, Matt Colleg from Colleg's company, Colleg Racing, Daytona 500 coming up this weekend, and then Brian Anderson right after that. We talked to Brian just moments ago. If you missed either one of those interviews, both available on the Odyssey app. In fact, I didn't realize how, like, blessed Brian Anderson was on his trip up to the pros. I thought he had spent a little bit more time in the minors. I mean, I knew he went from Wright State, and I knew it was a high draft pick, but
third overall, he
flew through the system.
Yep,
flew
quickly.
Yeah,
well, he was the third overall pick.
Yeah, I get it though, but
and
it's
he's
still
a left-handed
baseball
pitcher.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, he was the crafty lefty who had steam back then, as our buddy Les Levine would say. Why are there no crafty righties?
That is true. Why were there no crafty?
They're
why
all
are
crafty lefties?
Let's take two more.
Oh, I miss you, Les. I don't know anything else out of Brian that kind of hit home with you.
Yeah, he can't believe it's here already, and I agree with him.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know what I see? Take a look outside. It's kind of crazy.
There was sunshine, wasn't
there?
There's
sun peeking through in Northeast Ohio right now.
Well, you got to have something when it's 15.
I don't know. Crazy. Like at one point last night, the roads were a mess on the east side where we were, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, nothing's wrong. This has like been one of the craziest weather years I think we've had in a long time.
You know what's been really bad is that it hit early in January and it really hasn't, you know, relented.
It needs to go away.
We're all for that.
Can't we get rid of that? Menigan, no. You got anything on the weather? Can you do something about
it? I'll bet it's gone by July.
I mean, duct tape and saran wrap seems to fix everything else. Mm-hmm. Let's try it that.
Yep. Maybe we can just tape an aspirin to the weather and it'll feel better.
I mean, saran wrap plus sun equals heat. So,
Is that how that works?
Uh-huh.
I've never heard that before. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. You never put saran wrap on anything and then, like, walked outside and had the sun beat on it and you start
never
sweating?
No.
Really?
No. Never. Have you?
You talking body parts, Dan?
Oh, yeah. You've never had saran wrap on something?
No.
Sounds like a show for after hours, Dan.
It is. You know what? Never mind.
I have never been more creeped out on the show than I am right now. Just, I'm going to leave it at that.
Dan's putting saran wrap on body parts and talking all about it.
All-Star weekend in the NBA, as we get quickly out of this conversation.
No meeting.
So, yeah, okay, you've got the NBA All-Star game.
NBA All-Star weekend.
Yeah. You know what, though?
What rapper and what actress am I going to get to see play basketball?
I don't know. But I'm going to say this. I don't know if either one of you guys had a chance to, and I'm sure you didn't. But if you watched any of that Four Nations face-off last night,
No, I wanted to, and I totally forgot because I'm a moron.
It was USA against Finland. And, you know, I'm sitting on the couch. I'm like, all right, I want to watch this. I want to see what this is all about. First of all, within the first minute of the game, the guys were so into it that there was a scuffle in front of the net, like right out of the gate. And I kept saying to myself, because the NHL isn't doing an All-Star, they're doing this thing this year. And it's like, look how much passion these guys have for playing the game. Look at the level of excellence we're watching out on the ice, especially the first two periods. Things got out of hand, you know, when Team USA started. they went on a big run. And, you know, a lot of people say USA's favorite in this thing. They won 6-1. But But it was just, it was the energy in the building. It was guys out there competing. And then I'm like, I wonder how much these guys are getting paid to play in this thing. And it's hard to find a number on it. They're getting a stipend to play. There's some kind of bonus that they get for playing in this thing. But it's hard to find a hard number on that. Like, we know that whoever wins this four-team tournament in the NBA All-Star game on Sunday gets $1 million, right? They get $1 million each. So, I mean, I'm just kind of looking at this thing going, how do you duplicate that? How do other sports duplicate the passion that I've watched a little bit over the last two nights, too? Because, you know, that was game two of this Four Nations face-off that they're doing in Montreal. And it is fun to watch. It is high-level, high-intensity hockey. This isn't like guys playing in an exhibition. They're out there and they care about the country that's on their chest. It's really interesting to watch.
Sounds like the Olympics, only better.
It does sound like the Olympics a little bit better. Did you see any of it? Mayor, did you watch any?
Yeah, I watched some of USA last night, and I think Jeff hit the nail on the head, because that's what I was thinking as I was watching this. And I think one of the reasons why the players are getting so into it is just national pride. They're playing with, you know, their friends from their own country. So, you know, a lot of players who normally play against Sid Crosby now have the opportunity to play with Sid Crosby. And for young hockey players, that's huge.
Right.
So I think that has to do so much with it, is just the idea that you're representing your country. You're getting to play with your heroes that you probably watched growing up. They're now your teammate instead of your opponent. Like, I have been loving the Four Nations so far. I think it's been, even though
it's the intensity. Yeah, like, that's the part of it that was amazing to me.
I know. Even though USA walked over Finland last night, I enjoyed the game.
Well, I thought it was a good game. I mean, the game was good till 2-1. I mean, at 2-1, it was still a good game. And to watch these guys, you know, we talk about moving the basketball. These guys move the puck so fast. Like, no one has the puck longer on their stick than like a second. It's like boom, 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 boom. It's all over the place. Jeff, do you think if the NBA went to some kind of international format rather than let's just have some buddies pick up teams and play in an all-star thing, it might have a little bit more momentum?
I think if the NBA went, didn't they try that one year? Went international against American? I don't know that there might have been some talk of it, but I don't think it happened.
They've essentially done it this year with the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, they broke these teams up where you got the Rising Stars, and yeah, you essentially got the old dudes, the young dudes, and the international dudes. And those are the four teams.
I think if the Americans played like the international guys from the NBA in All-Stars, that the Americans would be like, oh, this is fun. And within about 2 minutes, when the internationals were playing for blood, it would change drastically. And I don't know that they want that. You know what I mean?
The NBA doesn't want that, or the players don't want that.
The NBA wants that. I don't know that the players want that intensity.
Would it be better for the fans?
Yeah.
I think so,
too. The All-Star game stinks, Andy.
It's horrible.
It's awful.
I'd rather watch a three-point shootout.
That's my favorite. The three-point shootout is my favorite part of the All-Star weekend.
The shootout?
The three-point shootout.
Yeah.
It's an actual basketball skill that's fun.
Yeah, I don't know how you fix it. Like, I don't know how you make this. The NBA stuff, it's tough. The NFL stuff is beyond repair. Right?
Oh, they just gave up.
Yeah, they
just gave up.
They don't play. Yeah. Adam Silver's trying to come up with something, and it's not working. The guys, you know, I don't need to watch. See, here's the bad thing. We get to watch the best basketball players in the world play basketball at a pretty high level for months and months and months. And then we put them on a floor and say, hey, this game doesn't count. And then we expect them to go out and bust butt? You want them to bust butt, go watch the Cavaliers take on the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, you know, it's like, okay, here you go. No defense, let's go. Well, it's unrealistic in this day and age with the money that they all make to expect that to happen. I never expect that to happen again. You know, they're trying to recapture the old East-West and have it mean something. I don't expect that to ever happen again, because I have no idea how it could. Do you? How in the world could they make that actually mean something?
Money. More money. That's
well,
it.
Well, Andy, they make so much money, it's silly.
I don't know how else you do this. How do you?
I don't either. I think it's jumped the shark. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they come up with something else.
Huh. Jay's in Cleveland. Hi, Jay.
Andy, love the hockey talk. Thanks. I don't know if we can get a segment on here every day for you to get some hockey in, but
it's never
going to
happen. It's never. I mean, I try. Dude, I do it every day. These guys are so bored with me. They hate me.
Andy,
after
these
a while.
These guys are playing at a Stanley Cup caliber intensity. I don't know if you saw the comment the other day, Drew Doughty from the Los Angeles Kings.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the other night when Canada played, that was the fastest hockey game that he's ever played in, and he's played for 20 years in the NHL.
Yeah, I missed that game. I watched last night's game, and I could not get over how fast the game was last night. I mean, it's less than a breath. Guys will get the puck, they'll get rid of the puck. They get it, and it's just, they're constantly, they're working hard. And Jay, I was looking for numbers on how much these guys are making, and I couldn't find it, which makes me, man, this is all about the front of their jersey, or sweater in this case, right?
Yeah, there's nothing better than playoff hockey. Obviously, I'm biased, huge hockey fan, but there's nothing better than playoff hockey. This reminds me of a Stanley Cup final, just watching the intensity that these guys are playing with and the speed.
It's fun. Sell somebody that doesn't care. Sell them right now. Tell them why they should be watching.
Yeah, it's the best competition you'll get to see in the nation right now. Four Nations Tournament. Stanley Cup caliber. If you're not a hockey fan, turn on and watch one of these games. There's a good chance you might become a hockey fan after watching this.
There you go. Good statement. Thank you, Jay. Jay in Cleveland checking in.
I don't know about the best competition.
What?
I think Team Bonds is going to really stick it to Team Rice and the Celebrity Game.
Oh, you're saying that's going to be better than... who's even playing in this thing? Is that's tonight, right? Celebrity Game?
Pablo Schreiber.
Is he related to Lev?
Dylan Wang.
Avery Schreiber? Neither?
Chris Brickley?
Neither one. Speaking of TV, major, major milestone coming up tomorrow night. We'll talk about that. Tim May, 1 o'clock, Letterman Row. What's going on with the Buckeyes? New what? BC? New OC? What's up with the Buckeyes? We'll talk about that next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Tim May is going to join us here in just a little bit. We're going to talk a little Ohio State stuff, and then maybe even a little NASCAR, too. And we're going to go. Oh, we have golf questions for him, too, right? He takes care of all that stuff.
We have Will Howard questions for him.
Yeah, we do have Will Howard questions. You're right. You were looking through the lineup for tonight's NBA celebrity game. You were excited about it? Does that make you want to watch it?
Oh, I can't wait to see T.O.
I looked early at just some of the names on there. I saw Shaboozy is going to play. I like him.
You know, he speaks highly of you, too.
Oh, he's good music, mm-hmm. though. He's just something about him.
I've heard him. He's good.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Anybody else playing in the game tonight that we're excited about? Or?
Bailey. WWE.
Oh, I thought.
Superstar.
I thought it was Bailey from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Superstar.
No, not that Bailey.
Little Jan Smithers.
How old do you think Jan Smithers is now? I don't want to know.
Do not Google.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
How old? I didn't realize she was married to James Brolin.
77.
75. Still looks good, though. She looks great. Looks awesome.
And she speaks highly of you.
Oh, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I have nice things to say about everyone. All right, so anybody else? I know you were looking through this.
Yeah, poster. I want to see Baron Davis. Let's see what Baron has left.
Remember when...
I'd like to thank Baron for getting us Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, didn't also Baron... Baron hit the game winner when the Cavs beat the Heat.
I can tell you, Baron was an absolute delight in his short time as
nice
a Cleveland
guy.
Cavalier.
Ding. He should not have to pay for a beer ever.
Do you remember what number he wore?
Was it one?
85.
85. Why?
Because he was paying tribute to his grandmother.
Oh.
Because she helped raise him and meant a lot to him, and her house was on 85th Street.
Oh, I like it.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was truly great when he was here.
So here's the lineup for what's going on. So you've got tonight, you've got the celebrity game, and then you've got Rising Stars, right? And then so the Rising Stars are caught up into four teams too, right? I think that's the way I'm looking at this.
And then one of them advances to play in the All-Star game. Now, see, that could get interesting because you could get the young guys up there and it's like, I'm sorry, you're LeBron. Here I come. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys might get cranked up.
Mm. All right, then tomorrow at 5 o'clock, well, at 2 o'clock, you've got All-Star practice. At 5 o'clock, you've got the HBCU Classic. It'll be Tuskegee against Morehouse. So that's at 5 o'clock. The commissioner has his big press conference at 7. And then at 8 o'clock, you've got All-Star Saturday night starts. So Kia Skills, three-point, and then the slam dunk.
Do you like the skills challenge? I find it boring.
I don't know. I'm happy with just three-point and slam dunk.
I think the slam dunk is also jump the shark.
It's because it's never the guys you want to see. That's why.
That is correct. I also, you guys tell me, they could miss 3, 4, 5 dunks.
Yeah.
Like not execute it. And then make one, and that's the one that counts. Should that be the way that goes? I mean, if you're doing a dunk and you can't pull it off,
yeah, you should.
Shouldn't you be penalized?
One shot. If you want to stop before you actually dunk, I could be okay with that. But once you put the ball in the air, I think you got to live with it, right? Like the way they used to.
Well,
like, I just think of Dominique Wilkins. Like to me, that's and Michael Jordan. Like I think about
if
those
they
guys.
Miss, they get to keep going until they finally, you know,
yeah.
Some guy will be trying some incredible dunk and nothing works, and then he just like drives to the basket and goes backwards.
I just don't feel like there's anything unique to it. Like who does anything unique with their dunk anymore, right?
Well, they've done about everything.
The bad
thing to me is sometimes when somebody does do something that's really unique, they don't get any credit for it.
Mm.
Then on Sunday, you've got the All-Star game. So it's Kenny's Young Stars against Chuck's Global Stars. And then the second game is Shaq's OGs against Candace's Rising Stars. And then the winners of those first two games will play the third game of the day. I don't know. We might get out of there after 1 o'clock in the morning. That many games, right?
I think you're going to keep it moving.
I think they'll figure out how to do it, too. The other big story we were talking about is SNL. Their 50th anniversary is tomorrow night, too.
How about that?
It just seems... I've been watching some of the stuff. Have you watched any of it? Dan, Jeff,
I've been catching up on it, yeah.
On the Peacock stuff?
I haven't seen too much of that.
The behind the scenes on the... they did a documentary on the Cowbell episode. Did you watch that?
Yes, I did. I watched it last night.
Really good.
It was very funny. Like, they did a great job with it.
I can't believe they did a documentary on this.
On one skit?
On one skit. But
it was really good, which was the interesting part, too.
The crazy
Jimmy Fallon
part,
almost ruined that skit, didn't he?
He makes fun of himself in it.
Yeah, I bet he does. But Jimmy Fallon was like us.
He was losing it.
So you know what really made that skit? And Will Ferrell tells us, and I'll give it away. I don't care if you watch the documentary or not. It doesn't affect us. He said that right before...
I'm Andy Baskin for the people.
Yeah. He said right before they went to go do the skit, he had the sweater that he was supposed to wear in that skit with the cowbell, right?
Yeah.
And he went to the prop person and said, give me the smallest size you have of that sweater. So he knew before he went out there that his stomach was going to be hanging out. And isn't that the funniest part? I mean, that's really what gets you in the beginning. Then you just start laughing. And the fact that they were all really, really close to, like, Horatio Sands, you know, like, breaking in that, too. Horatio Sands was a guy that broke all the time, too. And to watch those guys do that skit and then to hear all the behind-the-scenes stuff, I thought it was awesome.
Christopher Walken was great in it.
Oh, because he was just...
He was just straight.
Because he was Christopher Walken, yeah. Man. That's how he does everything.
It was... I mean, that's the part of it, is Walken delivers it perfectly, and they show so many, like, zoom-ins in the back of where he's supposed to be in the, you know, recording, and they show him laughing, you know, and Ferrell is just, you know, as we all know, we've all seen this sketch more times than we can count it.
Yeah.
It's transcended generations. Like, Ferrell just sells this thing like there's no tomorrow, and it's just fantastic. And they do such a good job in the documentary, because even in the documentary, he's selling it.
Yeah.
Like, it just worked out great. And
they were blown away by the fact that, like, they were playing it on scoreboards at college football stadiums during the season. Like, to that, like, that's like the ultimate compliment if you think about it.
It caught a life of its own.
Yeah.
It really did. Like, I remember when it debuted, and I remember, because at that point, because it was 2000, I think, that came out. So that was before DVR. So I think it was, they used to re-show Saturday Night Live, and my mom, like, brought me in and was like, you need to see this. You're going to laugh really hard. You know, and I remember watching it and just dying, and then seeing it again. You know, you can't help but lose it.
They've had so many great, great performers on that show over the years, and so many who you wouldn't even remember were ever even on it. It's, I mean, it's like, okay, here's your chance. Superstardom awaits. Or a job selling shoes.
Did you see the documentary about how Saturday Night Live almost died the year?
With that season 11 one?
Oh.
That's the next one I got
to
watch.
You know, you have to watch it.
I'm getting there.
The thing's been around
for 50 years.
That cast,
though, was amazing. What's crazy is they were ready to kill the show, and the cast that was like Randy Quaid, help me. Iron Man.
Downey Jr.
Downey Jr. was Michael Anthony Hall, all those guys, and the one guy that was, I'm trying to remember who they, I mean, they, at the end of the season, the final scene was them saying, is it like a big question mark, and they like put the whole set on fire is what it looked like, and they thought SNL was done, and to keep it going was pretty amazing. I don't know, it was really cool. It was neat to watch some of these documents. Then they did a music one. I haven't seen that. Have you seen that?
I'm working my way through that one. It's good. It's not totally what at least I was looking for out of it.
The music, and it's great that they've had some, you know, it's great that they do music, I mean, where do they do live music on TV anymore? It's nowhere.
It just doesn't happen.
So it's great that they do that.
No,
and they
you're
have
right.
big time
That's
performers.
A good point.
But just think of comedy in our country in the last 50 years, and it's led by alums of Saturday Night Live. I mean, think about it. Eddie Murphy, Bill Murray, you know, Belushi, Aykroyd, Chevy Chase. I mean, you can just keep going and going and going.
I mean, heck, you could go more modern. I mean, Sudeikis was in one of the best comedies in Ted Lasso.
Without question,
yeah. I mean, you could... Paul...
You tell you what's even crazier is that if you watch the... And I know we've talked about this before, but... Doug Kenny.
Will Ferrell, of course.
Well, you know. I mean, all this starts back to the beginning when they started National Lampoon. And that Doug Kenny, who went to Gilmore here in Northeast Ohio, that, you know, they started National Lampoon, and then they wanted, like, Lauren came over and started plucking all the guys from Lampoon to come over and write and to take all those guys. And Kenny wasn't a part of it. And Kenny was like best friends with Chevy Chase. And if you watch there's a documentary called Futile Life, which is really, really good. Martin Mull kind of like takes you through the whole thing.
Martin Mull. Another local guy.
It's just really neat. And then you watch that and you're like, oh my, this guy walked around Northeast Ohio and probably had this gigantic impact on American comedy that will never, ever be touched again. Because of what you just said, think about all the people that have gone through like SNLU, right, to become so influential in what we watch and in every mainstream thing. So you'll watch this tomorrow night. You'll watch SNL.
Yeah, for a lot of different reasons. One of them is I DVR and watch SNL on Sunday mornings because all the different stuff in there makes me laugh, and I kind of like having, you know.
You can watch it on Peacock now too. You don't even need to waste
space. It is on
at
11:30 tomorrow, right?
No, I don't know.
It's prime time tomorrow. It is on,
but I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna try to watch it live, and more than anything else, for a very, very dumb reason. This is one of those cultural moments where everything is going to align, and a lot of people are gonna sit down and they're gonna watch something that isn't either a sporting event or an award show, and we don't have many of those moments anymore, and we don't have many of those moments left. Where you're going to have this common ground with everybody who's around you. And this is one of those celebrations. This is one of those things that's going to be a common ground. Where I bet you the ratings for this are going to be through the roof. I bet you a lot of people are going to be locked in because they're bringing back everybody.
And it's Sunday, actually.
They're doing it Sunday?
Yeah. So I'm just out to watch SNL 50, the anniversary special, airs live 8 o'clock on Sunday on NBC and Peacock.
That's it. I mean, that's as dumb as this sounds, guys. This is one of the few things that is going to be a cultural moment that a lot of people are going to be watching the same exact thing with the same exact thoughts. That isn't going to be an award show or sports. And more than anything else, it's all going to be live and nobody has a clue what's going to happen next.
The in the Saturday Night Live spot on Saturday night, they're airing the very first episode. The first, and that was Saturday night. I don't even think it was it even Saturday Night Live then? Remember, they would open the show
it was
live
called.
From New York. It's Saturday night. Yeah.
They still do that, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. But that was, remember, because
it was just called Saturday
Night.
Well,
no, remember, they had like this feud with Howard Cosell.
Howard Cosell, who had an
Saturday
ABC
night.
Show.
Yeah. It's been interesting to watch how the show's grown, too, because they got super political. And now I think they've, like, if you've watched any of this year's stuff, I think they've gone away from being so political.
You know, a good idea for a comedy show is to try and focus on funny.
Well, politics is funny.
Politics can be funny as long as you're bipartisan in your humor, right? Supposedly. You're allowed to pick on whoever the president is. That's allowed.
They pick on everybody.
Yes, they do.
Everyone is fair game if you're a public figure. All right, let's do this. Let's come back. We'll bring in Tim May. We're going to talk Ohio State. Is Ohio State funny? I don't think so.
Not to Ryan Day.
No, not at all.
It's just happy.
We'll talk
every time he goes to the bank.
We'll talk to Tim May from Letterman Row next. We can put that in the bank too as well.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray.
On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.